Today, Shir Mishabriyami is Siman Shin Samach Gimel. We're up to Sif Yud Ches. Ma'amidim, dahainu imhin ismeches al yisedos hayotim min hakosel, she'in berachman tefa, falo ba'arkon shlosha, yesh omr shetzorach shiu chazokim lekablo, lekabel chati levena. V'yesh omr she'in tzorach shiu chazokim, ela kidei lekablo bilvad. So you have these supports, that is, if the korah is supported by pegs protruding from the wall, which are less than a tefach wide and less than three tefachim long. So again, you have these supports, which is a korah that is supported by pegs protruding from the wall, which are less than a tefach wide and less than three tefachim long. So some say that they must be strong enough to hold up the korah and also split, and also the split block. While some say they only need to be strong enough to support the korah alone. So let's see. The Mishnah Berurah is going to spell this out. And there's a continuation from yesterday's. Sif katan samach, she'in berachman techach. Di lav haki hayam amidin da'atman toras korah leim. So otherwise, the supports themselves would be deemed part of the korah. And since the supports are in fact not part of the korah, so he says, the gam lo hayab arkan shalosh, kadesh diya korah lovu lakotel, kumavu arakol besif chav hei. They have to be less than three tefachim long so that the korah can be viewed as reaching the wall by means of lavud, as explained in detail in Sif Chav Hei. So again, and since the supports are in fact not part of the korah, they must be less than three tefachim long so that the korah can be viewed as reaching the wall by means of lavud, as explained in detail in Sif Chav Hei. Sif Katan Chav Aleph, Sav Samach Aleph, Ulekabel Chatzi Levena, as we. This idea of the chatzi levena, the split block, is what we discussed yesterday in Sif, all right? As per the halacha in Sif Yud Zayin, Sif Katan Samach Beis, Ela Kadei Le Kabla, right? This is the others say that they only need to be strong enough to support the korah alone. They don't have to be strong enough to hold up the korah and also the split block. Here, let's see what he says. Sif katan samach beis, ela kadei lekabla. Taha ein nosnin ariach aleha uvekora hu deba'inan kviyas kiechi tavi hakerem alia. Aba mamida lo tale hakera biditu. He says, because there's no requirement to actually place a block on it, according to his opinion. The capability to hold a block is merely a gauge to determine that the korah has the required substantiality, right? The thickness. The korah itself must be of a permanent quality in order to be adequately distinguishable as an indicator, okay? But its significance need not be manifest in its supports as well, right? Aval mamida lo tali hekei rebeditu. Ulechatchila nachon lahachmir kedei harishona. He says here, ideally, it is certainly correct to conform to the first more chamor opinion. We are now up to Sif Yud Tes. Imaisa korah gula, tarashi yabe hekeifa shloshet tfachim shaz yesh. So he says now that a cylindrical korah, right? A cylindrical korah must have a circumference of three tefachim, because then it has a width of a tefach. He says sif katan samach gimel hakorah agula v'chulei. Right, the cylindrical korah. So he says v'afta hashakishi agula ini chol kabel ariach. Even though its present round shape does not enable it to hold up a block, as its round surface, right, would cause the block to slide off due to the fact that it has its round surface, but nevertheless, it's going to be kosher, it's going to be valid. Because we view it as though it were split in two lengthwise. Yeah, you understand that the Shulchan Aruch here is asserting that the circumference of a circle is three times the length of the diameter. This is based on the Gemara, which employs this formula in various places. The Mefarshim point out that this does not appear to be accurate. The circumference is actually closer to 3.14 times the diameter. In the Rambam's Perush HaMishnayos in Erevin, he explained that it is virtually impossible to measure the relation between the circumference and the diameter precisely, right, as even 3.14 is an approximation. The real equation includes a much smaller fraction, as you all know. This was called pi. Since any measure is inevitably going to be approximate, the Chacham allowed a more general and simple approximation to be used. That's how they explain it. Tosafot HaRosh gives a similar explanation, and he adds that this is why the Gemara seeks a source for this equation from the Tanakh instead of basing it on mathematics. The Gemara is invoking a source that the Torah allows this equation to be employed for halachic purposes, even though it is admittedly not precise. This, the Shaar HaTzion states that this equation may certainly be used for issues midrabanan, and he raises the possibility that it may be used even for issues of Doraisa as well. While he does not issue a clear psak on this, the Chazon Ish rules unequivocally that this equation can be used for issues of Torah law midrabanan halachas as well. He asserts that this is included in the Gemara's statement in Erevin Dalam and Aleph that halachic measurements were transmitted to Moshe Misinai. Hashem instructed Moshe that this formula may be used for all halachic issues despite its mathematical inaccuracy. Very interesting stuff. Now, the basic site here, again, he said, was that nevertheless, we view this round surface of this cylindrical kaira, we view it as though it was split in two lengthwise. And that means that the requirement is not so much that it be realistically capable of supporting the block, but rather it be substantial enough to support the block. Since this beam would be capable of supporting a block if it were properly adjusted, meaning split lengthwise, it would be valid. We now move on to Sif Chaf. Haisa akuma vakmimusa note chutz lamavui, o lamala me esrim, o lamata me asara, Rowan kol she'ilu yinatel ha'akmimus ve'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha k'sheira ve'im lav psula. What he's saying here is that if the korah is bent and its curvature either juts out of the mavui, okay, rises higher than 20 amos, or droops lower than 10 tfachim from the ground, so the Shulchan Aruch says we assess as follows. If removing the curvature would leave the remaining ends of the korah within 3 tfachim of each other, the korah is valid. If not, it is invalid. Now, this is going to all be spelled out very nicely in the Mishnah Brura. So, Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan, Samech Dalid, Nota Chutz Lamavoy, Vechulei. He says, the Chol Elu Dvarim Sheposlim Bekora. He says, all of which, if it either juts out of the Mavoy, rises higher than 20 Amos, or droops lower than 10 Tfachim, all of which these things are, all of which are invalid locations for a Korah. Okay, we saw it in Sif Yud Dalid, and we'll see also in Sif Chavav that these are all invalid locations for a Korah. Namely, that it juts out of the Mavoi, it rises higher than 20 Amos, or droops lower than 10 Tfachim. Okay, so that's what's happening. So these are all invalid locations for a Korah. So he says, Sif Katan Samach Hei, so we assess Ron Kol She'el Yinata. We assess as follows that if removing the Shulchan Aruch said, if removing the curvature would leave the remaining ends of the korah within three tefachim of each other, the korah is valid. Why? So he says the Mishnah Brura, Latam. What's the reason? Damri and Lavid. Because we apply Lavid. In other words, we view the invalid part, the part beyond the allowed realm, as if it were non-existent, and therefore the korah's validity depends on whether or not the remaining parts of the korah can be connected by means of Lavid. Very interesting. Sifkat and Samach Vav, and he says if not, right? It is not valid. Again, if removing the curvature would leave the remaining ends of the korah within three tfachim from each other, the korah is valid. If not, it is invalid. So the Mishnah Brura says here, in La Psula, Hayodafka ba'ofen zeh she k'tzas korah ha'akuma hu chutz l'shir hesher mavui. He says, but only in a case such as these, where part of the bent, meaning if it's invalid, but only in a case such as these, where part of the bent korah is out of the area qualified for permitting the mavui. However, he says, Aval, im hikula besoch ha-mavui kedin, however, if the entire korah is situated properly inside the mavui, afilu ma'ikum u'arbe yo'isem eshoch ha-tfachim, and even if the curvature spans much more than three tfachim, it's going to be valid, k'sheira. Darmin ro'in ki lo'isa p'shuta, because we say, we view it as if it were straight. Meaning, the mere fact that it is curved would not disqualify the korah if the fact that the curvature would not overstep the allowed realm of the korah. Okay? And he continues on. He says, this is evident from the Rambam's lack of further elaboration when presenting these halachas in Yud Zayin Chavav, as well as from the other Rishonim. However, the Goyin Yaakov and the Chidushay Evan HaOzer, they question this, he says, see there. And this issue really revolves around the understanding of an ambiguously stated Mishnah. And, just to summarize for you, the Mishnah in Erev and Yigimel with Beis presents a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. Chachamim maintain that the Korah has to be strong enough to support a block. Rav Yehuda disagrees, and he holds that if it is wide enough, it's valid, even though it is not strong enough. If it is made of straw or reeds, we view it as if it were made of metal. The Mishnah then proceeds to state, if it is bent, we view it as if it were straight. If it is cylindrical, we view it as if it were flat. And it remains unclear if this addition continues to represent the individual opinion of Rav Yehuda, or if the halachas pertaining to the Korah's shape are really unanimously agreed upon. So most Rishonim understand that this part of the Mishnah is unanimously agreed upon. But the Gaon Yaakov, this is the issue, the Gaon Yaakov and the Evan Hoza disagree. They hold that the continuation too represents the opinion of Yehuda, whereas the Chachamim would disagree with this as well. And based on this, they paskin the halacha follows the Chachamim, who never allow a bent Korah, even if the whole Korah is within the allowed realm, unless Lavud can be applied. Okay, but this is, as he says, his halacha, that he's basically going with, the Rambam's, the deep and the Rambam's lack of further elaboration, and as well as from the other Rishonim, that it's only in a case such as these where part of the Ben Korah is out of the area qualified for permitting the Mavui, but if the entire Korah is situated properly inside the Mavui, then even if the curvature spans much more than three Tfachim, he's going with the opinion here, the Mishnah Berurah, that it is valid, because we view it as if it were straight. We continue on now to Sif Chaf Aleph. So we have a case here where a korah extends across from one wall, does not reach the other wall. For instance, if it is propped up by posts. Or there are two koros, one extending from one wall and the other extending from the other wall, almost meeting at the center of the mavoi. So he says, in either case, in either of these cases, if the gap between them is less than three tfachim, it is valid. If there is a full three tfachim between them, it is invalid. It is psula. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Samach Zayin, Ve'ena no gas, but has not reached the other wall. He says, in fact, even if it were a distance from both walls in this way, for example, if one stood a wooden post in the center of the Mavui, right, and laid the Korah on top of it, so there, Amrinan, Lavud, Mishnei Ruchos, we would apply Lavud on both sides. Sif Katan Samach Ches, Psula, right? If there is a full three tfachim between them, it is going to be Psula, it isn't valid. And therefore, he says, Ela Yavi Korah Cheres, O Yere Lamale Rebach Ahu, Bechatzichach's Korah. He says, and therefore, one has to either replace it with a different Korah or fill the gap with a segment of Korah. Sif Chaf Bais. In Yashtei Kairis, Zu Besad Zu, Velo Bezu Lekabel Ariach, Velo Bezu Lekabel Ariach. A person placed two koros alongside each other, and neither can carry a block on its own. So, Im Yesh Bishtehen, Kedele Kabel Ariach Lerachvo, Dahinu Tefach, if the two together would be wide enough to hold a block's width, which is a Tefach, Dahinu Tefach, Ve'ein Bein Zu Lezu Shlosha Tfachim, and the space between the two is less than three Tfachim, Eino Tzarech Lavi Korah Acheres. There's no need to bring a different Korah. If these conditions are not met, a different Korah must be brought. And some say that the two Koros must be within a Tefach of each other. Okay, so let's see all this now in the Mishnah Berurah. Sif Katan Samech Tes. Dahainu Tefach. So he said, a person placed two koros alongside each other and neither can carry a block on its own. So if the two together would be wide enough to hold a block's width, which is a tefach, hain tefach, Ratzon Lomar, sheyu shneim rechavim biyachad tefach. That is, the two koros must have a combined width of a tefach. While the block is actually a tefach and a half wide, okay, the two koros must have a combined width of a tefach. Continue on. Sif katan ayin. Ve'ein bein zu lezu shlosha tfachim. Chashvina lahu ki ilu smuchos zu lezu mitam lavu. So again, he said, and again, the person placed two koras alongside each other. Neither can carry a block on its own. The two together would be wide enough to hold the blocks with, which is a tefach, and the space between the two is less than three tefachim, he says. Sifkat ayin. In which case, he says, the chashvina luki usmuchas ulzumi tam lavud. In which case, we view them as being right next to each other because of lavud. Now, it should be noted the application of lavud here, which is introduced by the Rambam, adds an is a shtikel b'chudash to the examples of lavud beforehand. In those cases, there's a proper korah, which is simply not long enough to cover the whole entrance of the mavui. And lavud is applied to lengthen it. Here, lavud is applied to create what otherwise would not meet the definition of a korah at all. And also, although this korah cannot actually support a block, the Rambam maintains that the capability of holding a block is simply the criteria for the korah's width and the physical constitution. Here, the width and material of the korah would enable it to support a block, just that its distribution is problematic. Such a korah, okay, is valid even if it cannot, in reality, support a block, just like a round korah. Okay, ayin sif yutes again. Also, Chazan Ish talks about this in ayin vav aleph ayin shum. We continue on. So the Mishnah Brura sif katan ayin aleph the v'yesh omrim. So he said that some say. Ayin Aleph, some say that the two koros must be within a tefach of each other. Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan, Ayin Aleph, Yesh Omrim. So he says here, Svir Lahu, Lo Shayich Kan, Lahatir Mishum Lavud. Tahaba Inan Shia Kaira, Ruuya Lekabel Ariach Lerachva, Ukeshehain, Predos Harbe, Ein yichola lekabel ariach alehen. So this opinion says that we cannot validate these two half koros by virtue of lavud, because the korah must be capable of holding a block across its width. When the two halves are so far apart, they cannot hold a block on them. In other words, this opinion takes issue with the last point that we made in the Rambam there. They hold that the korah must literally be capable of supporting a block. Although lavud allows us to disregard the gap between the two halves, it does not bring them into a position enabling them to carry a block. Since each one independently is too weak to hold a block, it can be achieved only if the block can in fact be laid on the two simultaneously. As long as it cannot be laid across them, they don't qualify, even though it is as if the gap between them is filled. This opinion would argue that our case cannot be compared to the round korah there. The korah is actually strong enough to hold the block even in its present state. Only the block would slide off due to its round surface. Here, there's no surface that is really strong enough to hold the block. This is the opinion of the Tur, the Gos Maimonis, in the name of the Maram, and also Rabbeinu Yehoina's son. We continue on. So he said that some say that the two koros must be within a tefach of each other. But look at the Mishnah Brura. Within a tefach of each other. B'tok tefach. Toha ariach l'rachfo himachzek es tefach u'mechza. B'tzorosh yakol ponim nismach bimenu kereba tefach al korazu kereba al shnia. Meaning, because the block, if it's within a tefach of each other, the block is a tefach and a half wide. And therefore, in order to be supported by these two beams, there must be at least about a quarter of a tefach placed on one and about a quarter of a tefach placed on the other. So therefore, inevitably, there will be no more than a tefach of space between them. According to this explanation, it would appear that the Shulchan Aruch's statement that they must be within a tefach of each other is not quite literal. Even a space of a full tefach is allowed as long as it does not exceed a tefach. It is possible that the Shulchan Aruch instructs us to keep the space to less than a tefach in order to err on the side of caution and not attempt to make it a full tefach, as this would be difficult to ascertain with perfect position. This is what the Shahid Sion points out. We continue on onto Sif Chaf Gimel. The Behalacha on this Chaf Beis, but now we're going to move on to Sif Chaf Gimel. Now the following Sif continues the subject of the previous Sif and addresses another aspect of a Korah comprising two halves. Let's see. Haisa achas lemala v'achas lemata. If one Korah is higher up and the other is lower down, Rowan es al yona ki iwui lemata We view the higher one as if it were lower, and the lower one as if it were higher. However, he's going to say this is contingent upon the following. Number one, the higher one cannot be more than 20 amos above the ground, and the lower one cannot be less than 10 tefachim above the ground. That's condition number one. Condition number two, there has to be a vertical space of three tfachim between them. Right? And he says, right? They have to be also positioned so that the horizontal space between them would be less than three tfachim. After viewing the one as descending directly downward and the other as rising directly upward until reaching an equal level. And he says, V'yesh Poslin, some disqualify this configuration altogether. So let's see, Mr. Brewer is going to help us with this, spell this out a little better for us. Let's look at Sif Katan Ayin Gimel. Haisa. Right, he's talking about if one is higher up and the other is lower down. Mr. Brewer says, the point of the sif is to expand the chiddush of the halacha stated in the previous sif regarding two, okay, koros that could not each hold a block on its own. He says, here the Shulchan Aruch adds that even if the two are not parallel to each other, but one is up to three tefachim higher than the other, up to three tefachim higher than the other, it is still effective for, as we said, we view it as the higher one as if it were lower, and the lower one as if it were higher. That's the next Mishnah Brura. As a tachtona, we view the lower one as if it were higher, v'tona lomar, o as a tachtona, meaning that is, or the lower one. In other words, halacha allows us to view the two as coming together so that they would be capable of holding a block. We can either phrase it by saying that we view the higher one as if it were lower, or that we view the lower one as if it were higher. Not that it's both, okay? He's saying, or the lower one. Either way, we try to go ahead and view them as coming together so they'd be capable of holding a block. Ayin, hey, uvelvad v'chulei me esrim. So he said, number one, it's contingent upon the higher one may not be more than 20 amos above the ground. Because if it was higher than 20, because then even the lower one is less than 3 tefachim below it, we cannot view the higher one as being within 20 amos. Why? Because it is now presently positioned in an invalid location. Meaning, the figurative shifting of the height simply means that when it comes to the requirement of being able to hold a block, we can consider it as if the two halves are in position to hold the block together, since the two together could indeed do so. But it does not allow us to disregard the inherent location of each one as regarding any other halachos. Therefore, it's not going to be good if it's l'mal mechaf. V'chein v'tachtona, now he goes to the second part. He said in the lower one cannot be less than 10 tefach above the ground. V'chein v'tachtona l'mata me'asara v'ayona smuchala b'toch shor tefachim. So too, the lower one is lower than 10 tefachim, and the higher one is less than 3 tefachim above it. Lower minim rohan is tachtona ki'ilu haisa omenes b'shavim ayona. Came into Ashav aimed by Hashar Kaira. We cannot view the lower one as being level with the higher one, since its current position is completely invalid for a Korah. Ayin Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch had said that there can't be a vertical space of three tefachim between them, that's for sure. And he also said that they must also be positioned so that the horizontal space between them would be less than three tefachim after viewing the one as descending directly downward and the other directly upward until reaching an equal level. Okay? That makes a lot of sense. That's what it means, bikavana. Sheyar dezu v'olsa zu, bikavana ad sheyasu zu besad zeh. Ritzon alone, not kavana, means michuvenis. That means until reaching a basically parallel level. V'haynu dafilu nashat shekvar yar dezu l'matna ksas, v'atona also l'mal ksas, ad shenasa zu keneged zu b'shava, lo yu az meruchakin rak pachos ol tfachin. He's saying here that this means that even though we would validate the Korah by viewing it as if the higher one descended somewhat and the lower one rose somewhat, bringing them to an equal level, we still require, and that brings them to an equal level, we're going to still require that in that position, they would be less than three tefachim from each other horizontally. which would allow us to apply lavud, like as we saw, you know, per the former opinion cited in the previous sif. So like a lot of lavud is going around, lavud up, lavud to the side, okay? Ayin zayin, v'yesh poslin, and there's another pasul. Why are they pasul? Mishnu desfir lu delor min roon es aliyona, because they hold that we not view the height as shifting. Now, afal gadol kamen b'chasuka b'simin tafresh lamad alaf pasak amachavim pshitus b'sivei demasichuchu mivulbal be'echad amal be'echad amata. Even though in chasuka the shulchan aruch paskins unequivocally that the sach is uneven, some higher up and some lower, we do apply lavud if they're within three tefachim of each other. In the name b'neim shor tefachim, darin and lavud, we say lavud. Here it is different. Shiny hacha, why? Because here, as we said, they have to be capable, when you do this halachic maneuvering, the idea is to make it capable of holding a block. And when one is higher up, when one is higher up and the other is lower down, they're not capable of holding a block. Now, and according to this approach, even if one is just a tefach higher than the other, it's not going to work. In fact, even when they are at the same level, he says, this opinion follows the second opinion that we said in the previous sif, which maintains, right, that they may not be more than a tefach away from each other. Right? Comes Eli Rabba and he writes that this more chamur opinion should be the one that we follow. And what's basically being said here is that although halachically they're indeed viewed as being at the same level, here the main point of the requirement is that the Korah be capable of holding a block is basically in order to grant it a permanent appearance. In our case, it still lacks that appearance and is therefore ineffective. And when he says, according to his approach, even if one is just higher than a tefach higher than the other, it's not going to be good. And the truth is, even less than a tefach, as long as they're not close enough to actually be capable of holding a block, as the Chazon Ish says in Ayin Vav Gimel. Akan.